You know, if we didn't have anybody to sing, lead to sing, if we just got to sing about it, sometimes I think I sing through the songs so fast we forget the words. But you know, think about that victory in Jesus. I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory. You know, I've grown up around, I don't remember when I didn't know about Jesus. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't remember hearing it for the first time, the word. I did, obviously. I mean, my mom was taking me to church forever, was born. So I'm 50 years into this. Mom was bringing me before I was born for 9 months, and then it went on from there. I'm like that one fellow said, I got a drug problem when I was growing up. I got drugged to church on Sunday morning, drugged to church on Wednesday night and Sunday night. Was good. I don't remember. I didn't know about Jesus. I don't remember. I didn't know about Joshua and Moses and all the rest of those guys. But I do know there came a time when I had to receive Christ as my own Savior. You know, you don't just ease into this thing of salvation. You don't just say, "Oh yeah, I've always been a Christian." A lot of times, when I witness somebody, people tell me, "Oh yeah, I've always been a Christian." And you may be thinking here tonight, thinking, well, that's the way I've always known about it. I don't remember ever not knowing about Jesus. But I had to make a conscious decision at one point to receive him into my heart, into my life as my Savior. And maybe you're that same way. Maybe you need to, you've known about him all your life. You can't remember a time you didn't. But you've never received him. The Bible says to them, to many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God. And so I don't know why I'm sharing that with you, except to say that I've been in church most of my life. And but sometimes I think because we know the story, we know the songs, that we fail to let them have their impact on us. Not like a husband and wife. Sometimes you know each other so well and you say things and then you don't really take into effect, he said, I love you, or she said, I love you. Now, if you were 16 and you're 17, 18, of course, we don't let our girls date that early. We want them to be 42 or so. But if 16 or 17, then you're waiting for those magic words. Oh, I love you, you know. But, you know, you go home and the old lady says she loves you, then it just doesn't matter much, you know. Oh, yeah, okay, whatever. But, boy, sometimes we get so used to the love and the hymns and the songs and Jesus and the cross. Sometimes y'all just sit there and let it come fresh on you. Sometimes y'all just sit there and say, well, what if I didn't know about him? A little missionary was telling these boys about, he came in and missionary telling about Jesus, and some of them received Christ, and she came back in a certain amount of time, and this little boy said, Miss Missionary said, tell me, said, you told us about that man that came, and I learned about him. He made me so happy. He said, but tell me his name again. Couldn't remember his name because it was the last time she was there, first time he'd ever heard of it. And he said to her, tell me his name again. And maybe we'd be like that sometime. Maybe we ought to sit in our car sometime when there's nobody else around and just think of how sweet that name is. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. So I don't know why I was telling you that. I got to hurry up. My wife's in the nursery. She said, John, make sure you don't hold them over. I don't want to watch everybody else's kids till 8:30. So no, she didn't say any of that. I'm making that up. So if your kids are back there with us, there she's safe. They're safe. She raised our three, and they're all doing fine. We had six others, but they didn't make it. But no, we didn't. We only had three. That's all we ever had. We're looking at Psalm 71, and you know that over the last week or two, now I missed a week because of my cousin's funeral, and so Brother Jordan did a great job. I listened to that sermon, and I'm so so excited for what God is doing in his life, and he's such a good sermon. Before that, though, I taught, I believe, on Psalm 154, somewhere there, about in this vein of thinking. But tonight, I want to look at this Psalm of the Aged. That's what I've titled. I don't know if anybody else titles it that, but I'm just looking at it because if I was going to pick a text verse out of it, we used to have this when we had, like our Oasis, it was called a different thing at our first church I ever served at. And the teacher of that class that Golden Years was built out of had this verse 18 on the wall, Psalm 71, verse 18, had this verse on the wall of the senior citizens class of our church. Now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Now, I put in your introduction so you can see it. It's not new with me, but you're not hearing from me for the first time. You may be saying, I'm not old. But you're at an age where at one time you thought what you are right now was ancient. I'll be 49 next month, March 15th, my birthday. And so just about a month from now, I'll be 49. Have mercy. When I was a kid, I thought 49, you might as well wheel them into the retirement age with all kinds of lifelong, well, as long as you'd have, not much longer, with a few more months of ground up peas or something to spoon feed them with. I'd have thought that'd be ancient. Now it's not so bad. Now I'm looking at some of the rest of you and saying, well, I hope I don't get that old. But now my age is not so bad. But our age is not so important as what we want to do with wherever we're at. Truth is, there's people much older than us that have still going strong, and there's people much younger than us that have already taken their trip out of this world. And so it's not really the age, but the attitude that's given in this passage. I want us all to have that. I don't want to take in everything that I've gotten and then not affect or transfer some of this to some people who are behind me. And it's not always people that are young enough to be your children. I've got three, you know. It's not always people that, it could be some people that are just your age. It could be people who are slightly younger than you. And once in a while, it's somebody who's older than you and God's really worked in your life and they came to faith later and you're able to kind of mentor, disciple them. But the attitude that's given by the psalmist, it shows his heart that he wants to show some things to the next generation before it's too late. So let's get into it, shall we? We see in verse number 3 and 5, I see a life of trust. We'll end up reading much of the psalm, but we won't read it all. Look at verse 3. Be thou my strong habitation. These are all of these statements are to the Lord. Whereunto I may continually resort, thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my defense. Verse number 1 says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In verse number 3 that we just read, Lord, you're my rock and my fortress, or my defense, my fortress. In verse number 2, he tells us, deliver me in thy righteousness. At the last two words of that verse, save me. We see a life of trust because he's asking God, he's counting on him to deliver him in verse number 4. Verse number 5, thou art my hope. Look at what he just said in all those verses. I'm going to review them for you. In thee do I put my trust, verse 1. Save me, verse 2. You're my rock and my fortress, verse 3. Deliver me in verse 4. Thou art my hope in verse number 5. Is that what people hear from me? I'm not asking you about me. I'm asking me about me. I'm asking you about you. Is that what God people hear from you? Do they hear this life of trust in God? Or do they hear that, well, I'm a person pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. I just figured if anything's going to happen in this world, I was going to have to make it happen. Well, can I tell you, while you were pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps, the one that gave your arms strength to reach down and get those bootstraps was the same one that gave you the mind to know that your bootstraps need pulled up. And that's the Lord. Because the Bible says it's not within us to even take our steps. The Lord gives that. And so am I living this way? Am I living a life of trust? That's what the psalmist was doing. But not only a life of trust. In the second one we see in verse number 6 and 8, we see he's living a life of praise. Verse number 8 says this, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. In Psalm 22, verse 3, which we won't go to, but it says this, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. That's where God lives. He lives and inhabits those praises that his people give back to him. Praise the Lord. We use it as a byword sometimes, but we ought to make sure we take good account of it. Praise the Lord. Somebody gives you something for your trouble, praise the Lord. Somebody says something kind to you, praise the Lord. Somebody says a compliment, praise the Lord. Just thank God for everything. You remember the Charlie Brown's teacher that nobody can understand? She always, when you show Charlie Brown all the kids, they you can hear their voice being the teacher, wah, 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 right? You remember that? No? Y'all must not be sophisticated like we were in West Virginia. I tell you, we had the classics. And just it just drowns out, just drones on. And I was just thinking about this while I was trying to prepare for this. You know, the talk of this world just drones on. And what makes a difference is when I hear somebody, maybe at McDonald's, I mean, you can hear them just like I can. You go and get your coffee, and you can hear somebody over at the table talking about Jesus. Ooh, I like that. You hear somebody say something different than the cursing and the profanity and the all just the things that just wah, 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 just the droning in there. We've become so desensitized to the things of the world. It just kind of drones on. But boy, when you hear somebody say, you know, in Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but it makes a big difference to me. I don't always go over to them because I don't want to make them feel bad, but boy, I sure notice. And sometimes I am able to go over and see them. But that's what the psalmist here has. He's got this life of praise. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. So we see a life of trust, and then we see a life of praise. Then we're going to look at a life of prayer in verse number 9. Cast me not off in the time of my old age, 49, or whatever old age you are. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. In verse number 12, we see, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. We see a life of prayer. This psalmist is not only saying, I'm trusting in you. You're my rock, my fortress. You're my deliverer. You're my hope. I put my trust in you. Oh, save me. He's the life of trust, but a life of praise, but also this life of prayer. John Rice, in his book, Prayer, Asking and Receiving, said this simply over and over again. Prayer is asking. You boil prayer all the way down and we think, well, I don't know if I know how to pray very good. I don't know if I'm a good prayer. I don't know if I know all of the ins and outs. Here's the basic quick crash course on prayer. Get everything as right with God as you can. Confess everything that you know you've done and then just start asking. Be as right with God as you can and just start asking. As I told you recently, don't worry so much about, well, what if I'm not praying correctly? What if my posture isn't right? What if my speech isn't correct? What if I'm asking something that I later regret? God knows who He's working with. A woman preacher said, God ain't got much to work with. It's just us. And you see this life of prayer, the psalmist engaged in prayer. Oh God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste for my help. And we see that he's got a life of trusting in the Lord and a life of praising the Lord. But the reason that's facilitated, or the reason that that's even possible, is because he's got a life of prayer. And I'm asking again and again, do we have that life? I'm telling you, folks, unless you're much better a Christian than I am, it's tough to keep in prayer. I mean, maybe if you've just got all kinds of time and ain't nothing going on in your life, you can find it. But most of us, people I find, they got more to do than they can get done in a day. And so we have to work at this thing of praying. I don't know. Take your time while you're driving to pray. I mean, keep your eyes open, but pray while you're driving. Pray when you're doing this. Pray. Find a time to pray. A life of prayer. But I love when we get down to the gist of the message tonight, of the lesson. And that's number 4. We see it in verse number 18. As you can see, it's original to me. Somebody else would have been more sophisticated, but I just mean I say a desire to pass it down. A desire to pass it down. Most of you have something from somebody in your life that means something to you. Not maybe the item, but the person did. And the item reminds you of the person. Am I... You know, my dad's in the Navy, and so I got a picture on my bookshelf of Dad in his Navy uniform and my mom. Of course, the mom's gone on to heaven, and so pictures mean a lot more than they used to because you can't go see her anymore, not till we go to heaven. But they had a desire to pass it down. You have something in your house, undoubtedly, that reminds you of somebody who meant something to you. And when you see that item, you think, wow, they taught me some things. Brother Walter's dad is in the hospital and not doing well, but he's got lots of memories about what his dad has done for him, and same with you. Brother Paul has got two preacher son and preacher grandson, and he's tried to pour into them. And that's what I see when we look at verse number 18 that we already read. Oh God, when I'm old and gray-headed, and I don't forsake me, but then also don't let me die, don't let me finish out, don't let me quit until I've showed thy strength unto this generation. And we see here, when I'm old and gray-headed. You may not be old and gray-headed, or you might be. I'm old and flesh-headed on this first part because the gray hair's already gone. And Amy reminds me every time I wait too long to get a haircut. She said, boy, that's a lot of gray over there. That's right. I said, well, you're a real blessing. Help meet for me, I guess. But he says here, when I'm that way, God, don't let me quit. Don't let me be done until... And you see it in your Bible there in verse 8. Until I've showed thy strength unto this generation. So can I tell you, it's not fancy either, but here's how I break that verse down. Number one, I see a plea for God not to forsake him. That's what the psalmist says. He's begging. I've got a plea for God not to forsake him. And then there's a promise to show God's strength to his contemporaries. That's where he says, don't let me until I've showed thy strength unto this generation. The promise to show to my comrades, contemporaries rather, I've got a promise to show them your glory. And then he's got a plan to convey it to the next generation. So he's got a plea to God. God, let me... Don't forsake me. And I promise you, Lord, I'm going to show your goodness to the people I'm around. And then I'm going to put some things in the works to show the people beyond me. I've been at more than, well, you know, from the way I make a living, I've been to lots of homes where people are ready to move on. And many of them will tell me of plans that they've made known to their family. That now when that boy gets older, I want you to do this. As just as you know, just in Brother Kermit Powell's home and the little great-grandbaby they brought over just in the last week or so and took pictures of him with Kermit so that later they'll be able to show that was your great-granddad. And so I see here this person, this psalmist, says, I don't want to only show the people around me, but I got a great plan to show the people beyond me. So we see a desire to pass it on down. And then we see lastly, point number five, but in verse number 23 and 4, we see this pledge to go out strong, go out fighting, go out whatever you want to call it. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, they are brought into shame that seek my hurt. He says, God, I'm going to let this tongue wag for you all thy righteousness all the day long. My lips, verse 23, shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. And I see the psalmist gives this pledge to go out singing, go out strong. He gives you this story of in Australia some years ago, this 75-year-old lady had come to hear her preacher preach, more of a upscale church, and she listened to him preach, and she got all under conviction about her not doing anything for God. She's 75 before she went on to heaven. And she went to him, came to the church the next day and said, Pastor, God, and told him what he had done. God wants me to do something. What can you use me to do? And they needed somebody, I think, in the fourth or fifth grade there, but they thought, I don't know. He knew her and she wasn't that agile and said, I don't know that the kids, they might eat her alive. And he said, I don't think we have anything right now, but we'll think of it for you, that would fit you, but we'll think about it. And so tears started streaming down her face and he said, well, you're really serious. She said, you better believe I'm serious. And he said, well, let me work on some things. Well, that wasn't good enough. She went home that day. He said, still said no, went home that day. The next morning, she was out working in her yard and some roses there in her front yard. And this little sidewalk went right in front. A little Chinese, a young Chinese student at the university came by and just started making small talk. And she started making small talk to him. And it hit her. She said, "Oh, he seems like a pretty nice chap, nice young fella." And so she started talking to him about the roses, but then he said, "Do you want a cup of tea?" And so they sat there somewhere on the little porch or something and had some tea. And she, before the conversation was over, got into her faith. And he didn't get saved, but he was really intrigued. He said, "I'd like to talk some more about that." She said, "I'd like to talk some more about that." He said, "Do you mind if I come back tomorrow?" She said, "I don't mind at all." He said, "When you come back, bring a friend of yours." And so the next day he did and brought a friend. They three had tea and talked about the Lord and talked about, started off with roses and all that, but talked about, had the tea, talked about the Lord. And it went on and on and on. Within a couple of months, she had a Bible study with 70 young international students telling them about the Lord on a weekly basis. And so to the old preacher that was out of touch and wouldn't give her a Sunday school class, she went and got her own Monday school class or Tuesday school class whenever she had the Bible study. She had a pledge to go out strong. Now, I don't know what each of us can do. We certainly don't have enough classes for everybody in this room to take one. You say, "That's good, because I don't want one." But whether a person has a class or doesn't have a class, we can all pledge, as this psalmist did in verse number 18, to say, "I'm going to show your strength to the people I'm around, and I'm going to make sure that I put some plans in motion to show the next generation as well." So are you passing things down? You know, for the month of March, or most of the month, we'll have our Equip series and some good folks of the church. They're not old, but they've been down the road to enough to have adult children. And so I've asked them to teach some things that would be a blessing for their children to know. Some of them are on a more physical aspect, some on a spiritual, but it'll be a blessing. But I want us to know that the biblical concept of generational teaching still works. In our day and age, which if we want to know something, we Google it. Well, there's still a biblical concept and biblical command to learn from the generation before us. The Apostle Paul tells young Timothy that he's going to teach him some things, and he says, "When I teach you, I want to give them to you so that you can teach others that will come after you, that thou might teach others also." Well, God's given some of you children who reside in your house. Some of you, you've got grandchildren that are at your house on a very often, and so you've got a upfront and personal way to affect another generation and maybe even yet another. But whether you have any of those or not, you've still got some people. Some of you have folks that work around you. And you could adopt verse number 18 as your command. "Oh Lord, don't forsake me. And let me teach this generation. And forsake me not until I've showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." And so I trust that tonight the Lord has maybe lit a fire again or blew some air on a fire to show us that we're not through with this thing yet. You may have thought you were well nigh washed up. Well, God, I don't think, leaves us down here for no reason. I assume if he wanted us in heaven, he would have taken us on. And so since he's left us here, he's got a purpose. And I pray that we'll find it. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I thank you for the time to be in your book tonight. And I pray that Psalm 71 has, Lord, I know there was enough Bible that we were read to change our lives. And so I pray, dear Lord, that we could commit tonight to you to teach some things before we go on. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless us and make it so in our lives. And Lord, I pray if there's one that's amongst us or watching on live stream that's not sure that heaven's their home, we didn't teach about that, but they've had a nagging, gnawing something in their heart and in their soul. They need to be saved. I pray if that's them, they do it tonight. Bless us, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Would you stand together if you're able to, and we'll have them play something on the instruments. And if God's spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you'd like to come and tell the Lord, "Lord, I was thinking about retiring, but I think I'll just refire instead. I was thinking it was about done, but you know, now that you mention it, there's some kids in our family that if I worked on, I could probably get them to Bible school this summer, probably bring them to Sunday school once in a while." Some of you sweet, sweet Christians right here in this room, you've made it your life's mission to keep your grandchildren in church. I'd like to stand up and applaud you and say thank God for you. And many of you, you were the dad to somebody that you did not have to be. God brought you together in a family, and a stepchild was your child. Made no difference. And you took them on for the glory of God and raised them and kept them in church. Praise the Lord for you. As they play through, if God's dealing with your heart, I challenge you to do business with Him. And one last plea, if you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, I mention it in the prayer, but maybe you're not certain. You've got a gnawing feeling in your heart and in your soul that you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. If that's you, I'll be out in the lobby at the end, and I'd just love to take my Bible and show you how you can be sure. I wouldn't embarrass you, but I'll be out there. You stop by. Father, thank you for this time to be in your house. Dear Lord, we're so grateful for a church family to come together with. I pray that you dismiss us with your blessings. I pray that you'd get us home safely. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us a wonderful day tomorrow as we try to seek you. Lord, I pray that everybody in this room would be in their Bible, the Word of God, tomorrow. Lord, we're not playing. We're not joking, dear Lord. I want everybody to be in that book. I pray that they would be. And I pray that you'd bring us back Sunday. I pray for Alton Beale that you'd put your hand of blessing upon him as he preaches. I pray for that young group of choir, whatever they are. Lord, I pray for all 16 of those that you would anoint them, dear Lord, and they'd be blessed and we could be a blessing to them. I pray you give us a great Sunday morning. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. Again, take us home safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.